Step into a world of adventure and join our players in Waterdeep Dragon Heist. We are thrilled to have you, but we'd be even more thrilled if you became a patron of our podcast on Patreon. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this is Quest.
Way back to Troll Skull Manor, we met Valetta with this weird robot, Numblewright automaton looking thing. After that, Cam reveals Dan's last name is DeLion. Dan DeLion? We go back to Troll Skull Manor where we do some general housekeeping and cleaning and whatnot, and then wake up the next morning and it's all ruined. L's got writing all over his face. It's got to be those goddamn ghosts. Then we hear a loud thud outside the door. L goes and looks to see what it is. Apparently we have a newspaper subscription that none of us signed up for. Dan mentions something about flaming hands and burning down his caravan. I mean, a lot of stuff happened, but the craziest thing is the Black Staff messaged me, and she wants to see us.
As Magic Dan, Taylan, Eltaor, and Cam traverse the bustling streets of Waterdeep, the city's heartbeat pulses around you, echoing through the cobblestone lanes. Crowds of merchants hawk their wares while colorful banners flutter in the breeze. A dray full of passengers drawn by six horses rumbles past.
Cam, why are you walking around like a regular dude?
My name is Steven today, thank you.
Oh, okay, I guess we're doing that then.
We're doing that, Dan?
Oh, I mean, no offense there, fella, I'm just Dan, you're not your usual self.
Dan, you've had a bunch of terrible ideas lately, so I don't want to hear anything from you.
Hold on, Gundog is a great idea.
Gundog was a pretty good idea, yes.
Why do you sound like me?
I emulated you.
I think he sounds more like Floon.
That I don't like.
I think it's a little on the money, yeah. I gotta say, your voice adaptation is pretty good.
This is the last time I do this voice.
Oh. Well, that, okay.
Floon, really?
I didn't say it, he did. Why are you yelling at me? I'm just a feller over here.
That is a nice invention, though, Dan. I will give you that.
Yeah, no, falls into a backpack. Check it out.
Move my shoulders around with the gun dog legs have kind of like formed into like a locking strap kind of thing.
It's a good idea.
I'm full of them.
Hey, Dan, do you think you could do something with this as I pull out the wooden hand?
There, don't hold that up to me. Good Lord, you know what just happened to me. I just got attacked by a bunch of hands. I forgot you bought that thing.
Do you think he can make it move?
I don't want to. It's going to freak out my nightmares like I've been having about the mother hand.
Maybe you wouldn't have gotten attacked by hands if you didn't put your name in the goddamn paper, Dan.
Look, I don't know what kind of maniacs run around throwing hands, but I don't think they read because they don't got eyes because they're hands. Even though one of them apparently wrote.
As you make your way down Bazaar Street near the market, you see one of the many walking statues of Waterdeep. This one is called the Great Drunkard. It is a 40-foot tall stone figure sitting with his arms limp and his head turned to the side as if he is drunkenly sleeping. An enormous stone axe is lodged in the ground at his feet. Built between the legs of this statue is a tower-like tavern known as the Great Drunkard.
Look, Dan, they named a bar after you.
I know, that place is super sick, man. They got so many types of ale, it's amazing, but it's a little priceless out. I still just drink the cheap stuff.
I feel attacked.
You know what they say, imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
As you approach Blackstaff Tower, its imposing shadow looms over you. The tower, standing at a formidable 50 feet, is constructed from sleek black stone, its surface devoid of any discernible doors or windows. Encircling the tower and its outer courtyard is a 15-foot tall black cobblestone wall. A gap in the wall holds wrought iron gates that are currently open.
Hey, Al, at least you don't gotta try and jump them.
Ah, burn.
Before I go in, I'm gonna actually cast a spell. I'm gonna cast Disguise Self, and I'm gonna change my dingy black coat, and it's gonna turn to this like deep purple, and the fringe is gonna turn bright yellow. So I'm going to make myself look presentable for the Blackstaff.
With that spell, who is imitating who?
I got to tell you, it's pretty fabulous, our friend.
Thank you.
I just got this terrible green smock I got, and now I guess it's the only one I own since I burned down my caravan.
Within the confines of the wall, a simple cobbled courtyard unfolds before you, with a circular path tracing its way around the base of the tower. Beyond is a verdant garden of lush greenery that starkly contrasts the tower's austere facade. In the courtyard nearby, a rotund halfling, clad in scholarly robes of azure blue, engages a group of eager children in a demonstration of wand techniques, who giggle and laugh at their tutor. I will note that there is no doors or windows at all on this tower, from what you can see.
How the hell do you get in this place? Isn't this Blackstaff and Vitus?
You did say she was a very powerful mage.
Oh, yeah, she is crazy powerful, dude.
Well, then there has to be a way in. Magic or something of that nature.
Oh, I bet she's doing that thing where it's like all the stones move and it makes a door, like, very impractical.
Guys, why don't we just ask him? As I walk up, excuse me, sir, sorry to interrupt your demonstration, but the Blackstaff called us?
This portly halfling will turn towards you and give you a smile. And when he does, some of the children get up and begin to wander off. So he quickly addresses you. Don't you worry. When you get inside, ask for the Blackstaff. And he points towards the tower. When your eyes are drawn to the tower, you will see a double door.
Hey, guys, there's a door right there.
It is a large stone double door, its surface adorned with intricate carvings of creeping vines and the regal visage of a raven that was previously not there.
This is quite intricate stonework for something that was not here before.
Yeah, that's real powerful spellcasters for you. Always wasting it on aesthetics.
I'm going to push the door open.
As you step through the threshold, you find yourselves enveloped in an aura of grandeur. The interior unfolds before you in a breathtaking display of opulence and mystique. Vaulted ceilings soar overhead that show the inside of the tower is much larger than its exterior implies. In the center of the chamber stands a large black desk, its polished surface gleaming in the soft glow of enchanted torches that line the wall. Behind the desk, a figure cloaked in robes of deep indigo sits reading a book.
Excuse me, we're looking for the Blackstaff.
As you approach the desk, your gaze is slightly drawn upwards. There is a spiraling staircase that stretches endlessly towards unseen heights of the tower, far taller than you could ever possibly imagine. Behind the desk, there is a very, very old elven woman. Being elven and being old implies that she is ancient. She has tiny little triangular spectacles on the end of her nose, and she will look up at you.
How can I help you?
The Blackstaff wanted to meet with us.
Names?
Talon. Magic Dan, the Practical Magic Man.
Hey.
Cam. And Eltior.
Hold, please.
And she will wave her hand, and she closes her eyes.
Blackstaff, four adventurers wish to speak with you.
There's a pause.
She will see you now.
Man, I really hope she isn't up those stairs, but I got a feeling she's up all them stairs.
Stand back.
Take a step back, yeah.
Keep your hands and feet inside the magic circle at all times.
And she will wave her hand, and with a flurry of motion all around you with magical sparkles, and you are teleported to a different location. You find yourself standing in a solemn hall adorned with five portraits of the esteemed figures who once held the prestigious title of Blackstaff. At the end of the hall is a sturdy wooden door.
Man, I'm going to be so pissed if we get up here and it's just that secretary lady again.
Cam is just going to turn back into his regular self because the facade has been broken now and just glare at Tay and be like, thank you so much, Tay.
You're welcome.
I don't want to hear anything out of you, Dan.
What? I'm standing here.
Anything.
I walk up and knock on the door.
You walk up to the door and knock, and there is no response.
Think she's on lunch?
Try a little louder.
Hammer fist the door.
With the first hard knock on the door creaks open.
Yeah, El, you go first.
Yeah, El, go in there.
I walk through like I belong here.
The Blackstaff's study is a spacious chamber dominated by a large desk in its center. The room is filled with stacks of parchment, scrolls, and books scattered across every available surface, including several tables and overstuffed chairs. In one corner, a short spiral staircase leads to a balcony library above. Rows of bookshelves line the walls on the upper level, reaching all the way to the high ceiling. Behind the piles of books and papers on the desk is a young, dark-skinned woman with curly black hair and bright green eyes. Leaned on the desk, behind her, is a dark wood staff. At its top sits a finely carved wolf's head with glowing green eyes. The staff exudes an aura of ancient and powerful magic. When you arrive, she quickly stands up, brushes herself off, and some of the papers and scrolls roll off the desk. She waves a hand and they collect themselves back onto the desk.
Welcome to Blackstaff Tower. I am Vajra Safar. Please come in. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll go and take a seat.
Okay.
You approach the desk and notice that each of the chairs in front of the desk are covered in scrolls and books and papers. She will notice this and wave her hand, and they will all fly up into the air and collect themselves in different places around the room, clearing the chairs for you.
Very practical magic.
It's a black staff.
Calm your tits, Magic Dan.
You guys have a seat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
She will take her hands and split them apart as if parting the Red Sea, and all of the books and papers split on the desk so that she can make eye contact with you, and she too will sit. There is a long, awkward silence, and I need everybody to roll an insight check.
16.
12.
10.
Natural 20.
So, Elle, you get a read on this woman. She's very young. Maybe 22. She speaks to you and presents herself with an aura of wisdom and power, but you can see through it a bit and tell that she's just as nervous as you guys are.
I have heard of your escapades with Renair. He is an acquaintance of mine. I'm very impressed.
So you read page 2?
I have seen it, yes.
I told you, man, it wasn't so bad. We're talking to the fucking
Dan.
Sorry to interrupt.
It is quite all right.
I'm very nervous. You're very cool.
I wish to speak to you today because I wanted to extend an opportunity to you. I have an organization under my employ called Force Grey. Their role is to deal with threats that the city and the city guard and the city watch are not necessarily equipped to handle. My duty is to the government of Waterdeep, as is Force Grey, but they work directly for me. I wish to offer you membership to Force Grey, the members of which are called Grey Hands.
Sorry, I've just been a little spooked about hands lately. I mean, I know I just invented this nifty gun dog and all this, but like, you want a hush for some sort of task force or something?
What would that entail?
If there is a threat to the city, in which I deem that you are capable of handling, you will be dispatched to complete this task. When you are not on a task, you are free to do whatever you wish. And for each job you accept, you will be compensated per job with gold or magic items. Whatever I deem appropriate.
We got ourselves a steady gig, fellas.
Yeah, we need a lot of money to fix up this place, so yes, that'd be fantastic.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. How much money we're talking here?
Whatever I deem appropriate for the task.
I feel like I need to see some co-workers' pay stubs or something.
I would like to see a contract. I'm assuming this is some sort of employment opportunity. There should be some sort of paperwork.
Yeah, he's good at contracts. I don't know why. It's good, Adam.
I would be more than willing to put this in writing. In fact, I am obligated to do so. But before you are considered official Grey Hands, I have a task for you, if you choose to accept it.
Some sort of test?
I wouldn't say so, but kind of.
An audition, then?
You could call it that, yes.
Ah, neat. I got something to try out.
What is it?
There is a single cave on the southern peak of Mount Waterdeep. Inside this cave lives an old monk named Halam. He is an old friend, a hermit, who is strange in his ways but receives visions on occasion that usually prove useful. Ask him what he knows about the threats to the city and report back to me.
We don't even have to ask that monk feller. We saw a mind flayer in the sewers, lady.
So you are willing to take the task?
Yes. Almost definitely, yes.
Absolutely.
I will say, try not to annoy him, Halam.
We should leave Dan behind.
Oh, that is unfair.
Is it, Dan? Is it unfair?
I mean, she seems to enjoy my company. Is that right?
Yes, of course.
Can I insight that?
Do you happen to have a scroll of silence we can borrow?
Perhaps that could be a reward for you in the future.
Tay does not speak for us. Tay does not speak for us. We do not need a scroll of silence. We need dragons. We need dragons.
Oh, yeah. We need money.
Or real dragons.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, very sorry.
Shut up.
I have matters to attend
to. Oh, God. We're wasting the black staff time here with all your bickering.
Cam's going to, like, bow, like, six times, like, on his way out, like.
As you guys are making your way out, she will say, again, try not to annoy Halam or overstay your welcome. He is unpredictable.
Get in, get the information, and get out. Yes.
Yeah, you know, we'll get that info, and we'll come back, and hey, maybe you drop by Troll Skull Manor sometime. See our place. It's pretty cool. There might be a ghost. I'm going. All right, see ya, dude. Nice to meet you. Oh, my God. So cool.
When you open the door to exit the Blackstaff study, you will realize that it is one of the stone double doors leading outside. And you are now standing out in front of Blackstaff Tower.
As we open the door, I'm going to turn back into Steven again.
So, Mount Waterdeep is a part of the city. To the southwest, a large portion of the city is consumed by Mount Waterdeep. It is a lumbering presence in the skyline. At its base rests the venerable Castle Waterdeep, where the Open Lord lives. Wisps of mist cling to the rugged slopes and the lush greenery of the mountain, and you could see winged beasts circling the peak, which are griffin riders, keeping a watchful eye on the city below. Now you have two choices. There are hiking trails that lead up the side of the mountain, one of which will lead you up to the southern side, like where she said this cave was, or you can just try to climb the mountain.
I don't know about you, gentlemen, but I would very much like to take the hiking path.
Yeah, I'm not exactly the climbing over mountains type.
So as Magic Dan and Cam go ahead, I'm going to tap on Tay's shoulder for a second. Like, Tay, I need to talk to you for a second.
What's up?
I have something for you. And I'm going to reach into my jacket. I'm going to pull out the 50-piece gold piece emerald. I'm like, for the orphanage. And I'm going to hand it to him.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll go a very long way. I'll quickly put it in my bag.
Where did you get it? Okay.
I'm imagining on the walk up, like, I'm trying to outpace Dan so I'm not walking next to him, and Dan is trying to keep up with me, just talking my ear off the entire way up the mountain.
The hiking trail that you locate will probably take you till the afternoon to reach the peak. Several hours. What would you guys like to do?
Dan, I have a very important question for you.
Yeah, sure. Ask anything.
We talked about it a little bit before, but Yagra, how well do you know her?
Oh, I've known her for several years. I mean, I know she's pretty rough and tumble. Like, she will. I have literally seen her punch a guy so hard his teeth just fell out like candy. It was crazy.
I need you to know, I did some reconnaissance work on my own, and I found out that she was working with some Zentarum contacts.
Oh, come on. But wasn't she fighting those fellas the other time we saw her? Like, she must be playing some sort of game on them. She's always been on the up and up.
Not the way she talked to me.
Well, I mean, she doesn't know you like she knows me.
She didn't know me at all. I went in a different persona.
Yeah, see?
Dan, she was hanging out with some really, really bad people. Dan, is there anything you would know about her from your extracurricular activities that may tell you something about what she's been doing?
Hey, it ain't like that. As much as I'd like to. Gosh, she's so tall. But she's just, you know, she's a dangerous profession. You have dangerous friends. I mean, it happens. I bet there's some sort of reason for it.
Just keep an eye on it if you can.
You don't have to tell me twice. I'll keep an eye on Jagger all day. Oh, man, one time she wore this one outfit with his armor, and it was just kind of hanging off the sides of her. Oh, and she had these tall boots, and her hair was...
Nearing afternoon, you see a craggy cave mouth nestled into the side of the mountain. Within, the air is cool and still. Soft shafts of sunlight filter through narrow cracks in the rocky ceiling. The walls of this cave are smooth stone and are adorned with patches of lichen and moss.
Hey, check it out.
A single flickering torch mounted on the wall illuminates a larger chamber. Within is a small, simple wooden cot, while shelves are carved into the rock that hold a few sacred texts and belongings. In the center of the space is a tranquil pool of still water, its glassy surface reflecting the dim light. Behind the pool is a worn meditation pillow, and sitting crisscross atop it is an elderly human man in worn burlap robes. His head is bald, and wrinkles of age cover his face. His eyes are closed in either deep meditation or slumber.
Master Halam?
With his eyes still closed.
Like a leaf carried by the river's current, you drift into my home. What brings you here, little leaves?
We were more like blown by the wind. You see, the Black Staff sent us.
Oh, man. She did send us, man. I was so like...
Dan.
Sorry.
Dan. Very important person.
Ah, like the pilgrim, you have climbed the mountain to see clearer the lowlands.
We need to know if there's, like, any threats facing the city.
I don't sound like that. You kind of do.
You sound a little bit like this. Just, guys.
Sorry.
He will open his eyes, and they are a piercing blue. And he will gaze across at each of you.
The Black Staff sends you forth as seekers of my wisdom with one hand, while subtly seeking to test your character in a crucible with the other.
Yeah, that makes sense. The magic people always do this kind of stuff. Always got to test you in some mystery way.
Dan?
Sorry.
Stare at the prophet and step into the pitfall before I tell you what I know. I shall be the mirror that reflects the truth in each of you, revealing your flaws and your strengths.
I think we need all that there, friend. I mean, we just need some information.
Halam will slowly rise, and as he stands, you realize he's a lot taller than he looked when he was sitting down. He will begin to take off his burlap robes, and you will see beneath them a fucking jacked dude. I'm talking ripped to shreds. This dude is so jacked.
I think L starts to unbutton his jacket as well.
like a 12-pack this man has?
Yes. And he's just this old dude, but he's like smooth-skinned, toned, muscular man.
Man, I did not expect all that under that.
He will say,
as the stone yields its secrets to the sculptor's chisel, so will I uncover your true selves.
And he will wade into the pool. And Cam is standing there right on the edge of the pool. And he will bow towards Cam.
I think Cam would like break his gaze from his own eyes for a second and then bow down to Master Halam.
He will punch you so fucking hard right in your chest. Tay, you are first in the order. What would you like to do?
What'd you do that for? As I cast Firebolt. 12 to hit.
That misses his 22 armor class.
I'm going to expend 2 sorcery points to quicken a spell and cast Scorching Ray. That misses. 10.
You get, Scorching Ray gets 3 bolts, so you get to roll 3 times.
Nat 20 for 25.
That hit.
And a nat 1.
Nice.
13 fire damage.
He will punch into Cam. Cam goes recoiling back. Tay, you swirl your staff in the air and cast a fiery spell. 3-4 bolts of fire shoot towards him. He dodges and ducks out of the way of all of them, only being partially singed by one of them. And he will just wipe the dust off of his shoulder. I need you to roll for your magic. What is it called? I need you to roll for your wild magic.
14.
After wiping the dust off of himself, he will say, "To defeat an opponent, one must first conquer the self." And he'll, like, put his fist in his hand in a readied stance. Cam, you're up next.
Cam is going to get up and look a little pissed off. I think, like, he's been punched so hard that he's now back to just his regular self. And he's going to look to him. He's going to say, "All those muscles, let's see how wise you really are." And hit him with an unsettling word. And then I think I'm going to try and hit him with Atasha's hideous laughter. So he needs to make a wisdom saving throw. DC 13.
He gets a 20.
Damn, even with the unsettling words.
Oh, no, not with the unsettling. What was it, minus?
It was only minus 2, so he still passes, yeah. That is Cam's turn. I think flustered that his, like, speaking of words and trying to make him laugh did nothing.
Strength without discipline is like a blade without a wielder. Dangerous and unpredictable. It is now his turn. So Cam, he will wade through the water towards you, jump out and do a flip. And as he is flipping through the air, a bare foot will come out of the air and smack you on your shoulder.
I'm going to use my reaction to cast Silvery Barbs on that.
16 to hit?
16 will still hit.
Hey, he's not the one you want to hit. I'm over here as silvery dust whirls in his face.
He still fights through it, hits Cam. Now, Cam, you have a feeling when he kicks you with his foot that it would do quite a bit of damage to you. However, he restrains himself from completely knocking you out. But I do need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
11.
That fails. You are knocked prone.
Oh, shit!
As you get knocked to the ground, he will jump, put a foot on your stomach, and jump off of you, and he's going to punch Talon. A flying fist comes towards you, Talon, for a 17 to hit.
That'll hit.
Again, instead of doing excruciating damage to you, he is going to force you to make a constitution saving throw.
5.
You fail. He will run up to you, psych you out with, like, he's going to punch you in the face, but he doesn't. He takes 2 fingers, shoves it under your ribs, and lifts his fingers up, and you are stunned until the end of his next turn. He has 1 more attack, so he will run away from him and go towards Magic Dan.
Oh, shit.
Magic Dan, a 30 to hit.
I'm going to Silvery Barbs that one.
17 to hit.
I'm going to give advantage to L.
So instead of doing excruciating damage to you, he is going to make you make a dexterity saving throw.
4.
You fail. You are also knocked prone.
God. Oh, my God, my... Everything. I'm gonna pee blood. Marceline, run.
And Marceline just jumps out of my coat and runs away.
He will center himself in the middle of the room and with one leg sort of cornered on another leg, like in a peacock pose, with a fist punching his other hand.
All right, so I'm gonna look at Master Halam and I'm gonna give him the same fist hand bow, and then you're gonna see this, like, black smoke come off of L as he casts Toll of the Dead. But the best part of it is the black smoke actually forms into the face of L's mother.
And she yells at him. That's really good. Is it wisdom saving throw?
Yes.
He gets an 11.
That's a fail.
This smoky visage of your mother with glowing red eyes slams into him, and he is startled for a moment, but he regathers his composure. Magic Dan, you're up.
Oh, my God, what do you want from us? Why don't you just start beating us? We're just trying to talk to you.
To know your enemy is to know yourself. Only then can one emerge victorious.
Oh, it's just one of those things where I gotta, like, tell the truth about myself, isn't it? All right, I wasn't good to my wife, all right?
Okay, what would you like to do on your turn?
Basically, I'm gonna just try to talk to him to discern what he wants. I'm gonna throw Gundog out. Basically, I kind of reach towards the barrel, which is, like, a little bit behind my head, and I kind of pull him, and I'm just like, go, Gundog! And I kind of just, like, lob him out, and it automatically just lands on its feet. Like, it's basically spinning through the air, and then lands on its feet, and then stands up and aims at him.
He does not seem afraid.
Oh, man, I thought that'd be super intimidating. All right, burn him up, Gundog!
And I'm going to use Eldritch Flamethrower to where he has to make a dexterity save, wow, of 12 or take half damage. An attack, so he'll take 7.
Gundog barrels forth and shoots out a flame of fire at Hlam, who and he slightly dodges out of the way, still balancing on one foot as it barely burns across his chest. Tay, you are stunned.
Master Talam, I yield.
Cam, you're up.
You say we need to know ourselves. Which myself do you want to know? And I think behind Cam, you're going to see a little mirror image pop out behind him, one of Leola. You're going to see a mirror image pop out behind him, one of this new kind of fucked up like human he has, the real burly one, and then one of this goblin behind him as he casts mirror image. And then unsettling word as well with the freaky people coming out behind me, and that'll be my turn.
Hlam will quickly run up to Cam, and he will strike out towards you. Hiya! And it almost touches your face, but he holds back, and he says, "The actor dons many masks upon the stage, each concealing the face within. Yet it is the mirror that reveals the soul's reflection." And then he's going to one-inch punch you. He got a 28.
All right, so he hits an illusion. So I'm going to say the goblin poofs and disappears behind me as he hits me with this one-inch punch.
He will then run over to... L, you haven't got any smoke yet, right?
I have not.
He will run up to L. He'll do the same thing where his foot comes way up into the air, like up by his head, and it's like he's doing a split. He will almost smack you with his foot, and with his foot inches away from your face, he'll say, "The proud peacock flaunts its feathers, but it is the modest sparrow that finds warmth in the nest." And then he's going to smack you with his foot. Make a strength saving throw.
16.
You fail. You drop your rapier as he smacks you so hard in the face with his foot that you lose control of your arms for a second. Then he will run up to... Who's next? Who wants some of this?
Not me.
Magic Dan. And he will karate chop right towards your neck. And it's inches away from your neck. And he will say, "A closed ear does not hear the whispers of truth. A tree that does not bend in the wind shall surely break." And he's going to hit you.
Wait.
He does the same move to you that he did to Tay, where his hand is really close to your neck, and then he will take his open palm and shove his fingers under your rib and lift it up to where he's like touching your lung, and you are frozen in shock. Last, but certainly not least, he will run up to Tay, who is still slightly frozen in place. He will push his face really close to Taylan's face, and he will say, "The rushing river cascades down the mountain slope, heedless of the rocks that lie in its path, forever seeking but never finding." And then he headbutts you. He will jump into the air and do a backflip and land splash into the pool and get into that pose where his leg's up and is punching his hand again. L, you're up.
So I'm going to mimic the same pose with the one leg up, and I'm going to look at him and I'm going to say, "Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless like water. Water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend." And then I'm going to cast Shape Water and have all the water in him just smash him in the face. It does no damage, but just...
That's what happens. Okay, Do you have inspiration yet?
I do not.
I take an inspiration. So the water flies up into the air and smashes onto Halam. And you notice that he is knocked down. We are out of turn order.
Oh my God, I'm so beat up. I think I'm going to pee blood.
I'm going to pull my mirror images back in and kind of like look to everyone and say, we figured some things out today, haven't we?
Why was my lawyer here? I feel that you've known a lot of weird things that you shouldn't.
Would you like a comforting lie or the unsettling truth?
I think I've kind of put two and two together. You're my lawyer, aren't you?
I have been, yes.
Oh, man, that makes so much sense now. You knew my last name and everything.
I've known you for quite some time, Dad.
Oh, man. You know what? I kind of gave you some crap about how you didn't handle my case good, but you know what? You did the best you could. I was a bad husband.
I heard all of the crap.
I just didn't pay attention to her like she deserved.
Crawling out of the water is Halam, who will stand on the edge of the pool facing the group of you. And he will bow deeply.
Like a lotus blooming in murky waters, I have seen the clarity of your hearts, and I have deemed you worthy.
Did you get that clarity when you reached into my chest and possibly touched me directly on my own actual heart?
El.
Yes, Master Halam.
You are the nightingale, singing your sweet melody in the darkest of nights, bringing light to shadows with its song. Talon.
Yes?
You are the lighthouse, standing as a sentinel against stormy seas. Through its compassion, its beacon of hope guides lost ships to safety. Cam.
Yes, Master Halam.
You are the morning star. The morning star guides travelers across the desert night. It guides souls through the barren landscape of uncertainty. Dan.
Yes, please don't hit me anymore, Master Halam.
You are the octopus. With creativity as boundless as the ocean, the clever octopus devises intricate solutions to its challenges. To all of you, the true test of skill lies not in victory, but in the journey of self it provides. In every victory and every defeat, there is a lesson. Learn from your success, learn from your failures, and you shall grow stronger.
So, like, are there any threats coming to Waterdeep?
Yeah, we were here for that before you started kicking our teeth in. Thank God he's got extra teeth.
I do have a message for the Blackstaff. The shadows of evil grow more paranoid and less patient with each passing day. No matter the deeds, whether good or evil, innocent blood shall spill. Beware. No one is as they seem, yet they may reveal their true faces in time. Know that the twin of evil lurks in darkness, hiding its face for now, but ready to emerge at any moment.
You say that again so we could write it down. It was a lot of words.
El just bows deeply and starts to back out before he decides to kick the shit out of us again.
All right, you know what? I'm going to follow his lead. Come on, Meowsalini, let's get out of here. Meowsalini just runs back in and jumps into my coat. Come on, Gundog. And Gundog jumps up, and I catch him, and I place him onto the back.
I think Cam's going to hold back for a second, and he's going to look to Master Halam, and he's going to bow, and he's going to say, you have visions. You can see things coming. Are they coming for me?
Like the calm before the storm, danger hangs in the air, unseen but palpable.
Thank you, Master Halam. This has worried me for a long time.
Please leave.
We're out of here.
Yes, sir.
Right away.
I've already left.
You exit the cave on Mount Waterdeep and can see upon the city. and it stretches out as far as you can see. Buildings, towers, you can see most of the walking statues of Waterdeep that hang over the city. You can see the Blackstaff Tower, and you begin to make your way down back to Troll Skull Manor. By the time you get to the North Ward, where Troll Skull Manor is located, it's dark. Night has fallen. Saloon in all her glory is out. What would you guys like to do? Do you want to get some rest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You take a long rest. Magic Dan, in the middle of the night, early, early morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, you are roused awake by Mousselini hissing and mewing at some sort of creature in your room.
Mousselini, what is going on with you? And I'll take a small stone and, like, light it up.
You light it up and see that Mousselini has his back arched and he is facing off with a black snake.
Oh, Mousselini, get the hell away from that thing!
The snake unfurls wings and flaps up into the air. When you see it come into the air, you notice that it has a piece of parchment wrapped around its midsection, and the snake comes flying towards you.
Oh, God damn!
It will slap its body onto you.
Hold up. As I yell that, I'm going to grab my pillow and hold it up in front of me.
Okay. It bites into the pillow, and you are more than welcome to grab this message if you so wish.
Oh, God, what the hell? And I try to, like, grab the message away from it and then hurl the pillow against the wall.
You do so, and the snake will slither away into the house and find some other way to exit. But you now have this piece of parchment in your hand.
Oh, my God, Mousselini, are you okay? Come here, my little prince. Come here, it's okay.
And I pick up Mousselini and I start, like, petting him. And I use the light to look at the message.
The message is written in elegant handwriting. And it says, "We've taken an interest in you and your friends. Let's discuss the potential of being part of an influential family here in the city. Speak to Davil Starsung at the Yawning Portal."
Oh man, this is bad news. This is exactly what Cam said was going to happen, and now they almost hurt my Mousselini. Oh, it's okay, my little prince. You're all right. Come here, a little boopy on the nose. Oh, I'm not going to sleep for the rest of the night. Where's Gundog? Gundog!
And I call Gundog in the room, and it just kind of like runs in there and just kind of starts going around the bed.
When you wake up in the morning, Tay, you slept on your bed.
Yeah.
You feel this, when your eyes open, you feel this pulling on your hair. And as you reach up, you realize many strands of your hair are tied to the bedpost.
Help!
I think from, like, looking in the mirror, he's gonna, like, stop for a second and, like, run towards where Tay is. I go from, like, me and Dan have that shared bathroom where he almost died in the bathtub. I'm gonna, like, run up the stairs to go find Tay.
Help, please!
Yeah, Magic Dan will join him.
Yeah, I'll come up from the... because I'm on the second floor. I'll come up slowly.
Okay, you'll be the last to arrive. I love that for you. So, you guys... No. So, Magic Dan and Cam walk into the room to see Tay. His hair is tied in several different places to the bedpost, and written across his chest in soot is, "You can't stay here."
Tay, did you have someone over last night?
No.
I don't know.
It's that fucking ghost.
I don't know what you're into, but this is a pretty interesting way to wake up.
Can you untie me?
I can untie you, yeah. You should probably have them do it before they leave, though.
I feel this is a haircut situation. Where's L? He's got that dagger.
No.
It's tied to the bedpost. This is crazy.
What are you guys doing?
I think Tay had someone over last night, and they kind of left him tied up.
I didn't have anyone over.
If you're going to have company, you need to put a sock on the door.
I will note that the way in which the hair is tied is way too tangled to just be untied.
We're going to have to cut it, Tay. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry. I got a hat for you. Oh, wait. No, I don't.
I got this. Yeah, so I'll pull out a dagger and I'll start to cut his hair, but I'll make sure that I do it so it looks fancy.
I'm gonna give you a bardic inspiration. I'm gonna look to say you have this. It's a D6, yeah.
Sleight of hand, you said? 19.
You do a pretty good job. You don't lose a whole lot of hair, but it is about an inch shorter.
I mean, you look more presentable. Don't feel too bad about it.
You look great,
Tay. You look handsome.
But I like my hair.
Now that you can move your neck around, Talon, you can see the words written with charcoal on your nightgown.
Yeah, and they probably brought that snake with wings into the house, too, which is not cool.
Wait. What snake?
So everybody's just having guests?
Well, apparently some of us had guests, but one of them brought a snake with wings into the house that had a note.
Kind of like a fairy dragon, but a snake?
Yeah, it almost got poor Mousselini. Things have gotten so dangerous lately. But yeah, I left this note, and I basically, like, hold up the note to everybody. Wait, this note must have been for you.
I think Cam's face, upon seeing the name Davil Starsong, is going to go from gray to white. I know that name.
What do you know that name for?
He was the main person with Yagra at the Yawning Portal, around a bunch of Zhentarim contacts.
Please consider joining our Patreon. We just put up some character art for each of the player characters, so go check it out. Also, thank you so much for listening. I'm Dungeon Lord Jay, and this has been Quest. Leaving the cave, you begin your long trek for the rest of the afternoon down the mountain.
Oh, God, I'm coughing up blood. You're my lawyer?
Yeah, I was your lawyer, Dan.
You couldn't do better than 200 dragons a month? My God!
Dan, you got off easy, okay? Easy, okay? You still have a caravan, right?
I had to do community service.
It was only 50 hours!
Do you know what I could have done in that time?
And probably nothing. You didn't do much before then.
Okay, I just quick raise your hands. Who peed themselves when that man hit you?
It's pee if it comes out the backside, right?